All right, amen. Let's get into the Word. I want to continue in our series about servanthood. And today, I mean, it kind of goes along with the prayer that we had. We're going to talk about servants as a giver. And this is not only financial, but this is giving of ourselves. Amen. So let's read from Romans chapter 1. If you'd like to turn there in your Bibles, Romans chapter 1, we're going to read verse 11. Romans 1, 11, for I long to see you, that I may impart unto you some spiritual gift, to the end ye may be established. Amen. Lord, we love you. We thank you for your word. We just ask that you just speak to every heart here today. And God, I just pray you touch each and every one of us as we, Lord, learn from you and apply it to our life. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. You can be seated. The servant as a giver. A devoted servant of God, if you're really devoted, you will have a desire to serve God's people. Amen? Without question, we are God's servants. And not, we're not man's servants, but the biggest way that we can serve God is by serving others who belong to God. And even those that don't. God did not call any of us to shut out everyone from our lives and live in isolation. That is not God's intentions. And nor did God call us to seek and to be served, but to rather to serve others. So many Christians go to church and they call it Sunday service. But where is the service? Amen? Think about it. So many Christians go to church. I'm going to Sunday service or Sunday morning service. But where is the service? Whose service is it? Who is serving? Who is being served? For many, the thought is that the pastor is serving the congregation. But God has called his people to serve him and to serve each other. God doesn't want just bench warmers filling the pews. God wants people with a heart of a servant. Most people are always looking for what the church can offer them. Right? Now, I think it's important when you go to a church to see what they have and how your children can be blessed and all that kind of stuff. But, folks, you know what I'm talking about here today. Most people are just looking for what churches can offer them. But we need to be the offerers. Amen? When we should be asking, can I be used in this church? Oh, it's quiet. We need to do some jumping jacks real quick. I said, we should be asking, can I be used in this church? Is there an opportunity for me to serve in this church? How can I serve others? Now, you may ask, how can we really serve a God who is in need of nothing? Well, God has everything he needs to exist however God exists. Okay? But God always has needs. Because there's a world out there that is not saved. Amen? So unless we have a massive revival this week and everybody in the world is saved, God always has needs. Unless we can eliminate starvation and all that stuff this week, God always has needs. Before Jesus ascended back into heaven, Jesus asked Peter, said, Peter, do you love me? Everybody remember that part? Peter, do you love me? And he asked him that three times. Let's read that in John 21, verse 15 through 17. So when they had dined, Jesus saith unto Simon Peter, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me more than these? He saith unto him, yea, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee. And he saith unto him, feed my lambs. He saith to him again the second time, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me? And he saith unto him, yea, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee. He saith unto him, feed my sheep. And he saith unto him a third time, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me? And Peter was grieved because he said unto him the third time, lovest thou me? And he said unto him, Lord, thou knowest all things. Thou knowest that I love thee. And Jesus saith unto him, feed my sheep. See, when Peter said he did, what was the Lord's response? Did the Lord say, do this for me? Did he say, do that for me? Did he say, Peter, bring me this? Give me that? No. Jesus said to him, feed my sheep. In other words, Peter, I want you to take care of the needs of my people. Now, you can sit here today and say, well, Peter, he's a preacher. And that's just a preacher's job. Peter was a saint of God. Okay, we are all ministers. Amen? A servant of God is by definition a servant of God's people. Amen? Ephesians 2, and we're going to read verse 10, says, for we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. Workmanship. You were made to make a contribution, to make a difference. You believe that today? Amen? You believe that today? You were made to make a contribution. You were made to make a difference. In 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 10 says, God has given each of you a gift from his great variety of spiritual gifts. Use them well to serve one another. Didn't say to serve yourself, to serve one another. Matthew 20, verse 28, for even the Son of Man came not to be served, but to serve others, and to give his life a ransom for many. Listen, folks, if God came to serve, who do we think we are? Amen? Who do we think we are? You see, when we have we have things going on in this church, we all ought to kick in and say, what can I do? How can I help? Serving like Jesus means being available. Being available. Do you make yourself available or do you make yourself scarce? Matthew 20. Well, you're a hard crowd this morning. Matthew 20, verse 30 through 32 says, two blind men were sitting beside the road. When they heard that Jesus was coming that way, they began shouting, Lord, Son of David, have mercy on me. Be quiet, the crowd yelled at him. But they only shouted louder, Lord, Son of David, have mercy on us. And when Jesus heard them, he stopped and called, said, what did he say? What do you want me to do for you? What do you want me to do for you? Here he is. How can I serve you? How can I bless you? Proverbs 3, verse 28 says, if you can help your neighbor now, don't say, come back tomorrow, and then I'll help you. See, there are barriers that we have sometimes to our availability. Amen? Being available. We have barriers that prevent us a lot of times. Let's talk about some of them. The first barrier is self-centeredness. Self-centeredness. In Philippians 2, verse 4 says, don't look out only for your own interest, but take an interest in others too. I saw this video the other day. It was about a young lady who said, the video, the little, whatever it is, when you click on them, it says, she was planning to commit suicide and God saved her. Something like that. But it was kind of interesting as she's telling this story. The one thing she came back to so often throughout this story is that she was very selfish. That was her biggest problem. And because so selfish, nobody could do enough for her. Nobody could make her happy. And no matter what was done, I think she lived with her grandma. You know, it's always nobody loves me. Nobody gives me this, and I deserve this. Selfishness. And that's where a lot of problems are in people's lives. And a lot of times it's because of self-centeredness. They only think of themselves. And the scripture says, don't look out only for your own interest, but take an interest in others too. The second, we have another barrier. It's called perfectionism. Perfectionism. Ecclesiastes 11:4, farmers who wait for perfect weather never plant. If they watch every cloud, they never harvest. You see, if you wait for perfect conditions, you'll never get anything done. Think about it. Well, if I wait for this, if we get this, if God blesses us with that, then we'll do this. I'm telling you, folks, it's not going to happen. You start using and blessing with what you have, and God will bless you. He's not going to give you better if you can't use what He's given you, or the time He's given you, or the conditions that He's given you. Now, you may sit here and you don't want to have somebody in your house because you think your house needs this or needs that, or it's too small or it's too big or whatever it is. You think God's going to bless you with something else if you can't use what you got? You don't want to haul anybody in your car because you don't want it to be dirty and this and that. You think God's going to bless you with anything else? You can't minister to somebody in your house. You can't do a Bible study because of this and that situation, whatever it is. You want God to bless you? See, I want God to bless us with another building. We're going to use this, and we do use it to everything we can. Come on. We have to understand what God has given us. We have to understand. Scripture talks about redeeming the time. Wherever situation you find yourself in, if you're single, then do the best you can as a single. You know what I'm saying? Wherever situation God you find yourself in, do what you can do for God. You may have physical needs or physical situations that hinder you from certain things, but do the best you can. In whatever situation you find yourself in, give everything you can to God. Amen? Folks, when we first got married, me and my wife, you should have seen the dinky little house we lived in. Come on. I mean, it was small. And you know one thing? It had had this constant odor that would come up through the trap in the tub. So we had to keep a cap in there to keep it. It was rough. You know what? We ministered in that house. We had people over. We did whatever we can. There was two bedrooms in. I took one of the bedrooms, and belonged to the church in Medina at the time. And I said, can I make a laundry room in there? So I crawled underneath this place. That was nasty. But folks, you got to use whatever situation you're in, you've got to use it for God's glory. Let God bless you wherever you're at. Don't wait, well, when I get this, then I'll do for God. Come on. You don't like to bless people with gifts if they never appreciate. Why would God bless you with any better if you don't appreciate what He's given you already? You're saying, God, I deserve better. So when you bless me, then I'll do something for you. No, that ain't how it works. So if you wait for perfect conditions, you'll never get anything done. We have another barrier, and that's materialism. Luke 16:13 says, no one can serve two masters, for you will hate one and love the other. You will be devoted to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and be enslaved to money. Jesus offers a fresh and much needed invitation to our me first generation. He says, be a servant. Give to others. That's the solution that God gives us. Be a servant. This is the me first generation, folks. without question, we can attain it. Be a blessing to other people. Amen? Philippians chapter 2, verse 3 through 5. Let nothing, listen to this, let nothing be done through strife or vainglory, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem other better than themselves. Look not every man on his own things, but every man also on the things of others. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. The scripture is saying, this was in God's way of thinking. And he says, we need to think this way also. Let this mind be in you. Let this thinking. You see, let nothing mean just that. Nothing. We need to stop letting the two strong tendencies of selfishness and conceit control our actions, control us. We have to turn the statement around. If we do it through strife, if we do it through vainglory, then it is nothing. We must replace them with those kind of thinkings, folks, by strife and vainglory. We must replace them with humility of mind. Say, well, how do you do that? By regarding others as more important than ourselves and looking for ways to encourage people, looking for ways to support people, looking for ways to build people up and stimulate other people. Now, this, in order to do that, it requires an attitude that would rather give than receive. That's a hard attitude to find nowadays, isn't it? Rather give than receive. You see, it's that attitude, that frame of mind that determines ahead of time to give rather than to receive. I want to be a blessing. I want to help people. I want to do whatever I can to be a blessing to the kingdom of God. First, let's look at these and let's see if this unselfish lifestyle is biblical. Oh, here you go, Pastor. You gotta show us scripture. How we're to live, aren't we? Romans chapter 12, 10 through 13. Be kindly affectionate one to another with brotherly love, in honor, preferring one another, not slothful in business, fervent in spirit, serving the Lord, rejoicing in hope, patient in tribulation, continuing instant in prayer, distributing to the necessities of saints, given to hospitality. 2 Corinthians 5. 14 and 15, for the love of Christ constraineth us, because we just judge that if one died for all, then we're all dead. And that he died for all, that they may live, should not henceforth live unto themselves, but unto him which died for them and rose again. Philippians 2, 3 through 4. Let nothing be done through strife or vainglory, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem each other better than themselves. Look not every man on his own things. Let every man also on the things of others. Hebrews 10, 24. And let us consider one another to provoke unto love and to good works. Galatians 5, 13. For brethren, ye have been called unto liberty. Only use not liberty for an occasion to the flesh, but by love, serve one another. Amen. I think the Lord wants us to care for people. I think the Lord wants us to serve. You see, unselfishness is that authentic humility, folks, that accepts who and what we are. We have to accept who and what we are. And we have, and it allows God to do the rest. Now, I'm not saying that we have to look and accept what we are and not want to get better. Of course, we want to grow in Jesus Christ. The goal is to become like him. Amen? I want to be like Jesus Christ. So how should servants give? In 2 Corinthians 8, 1 through 5 says, moreover, brethren, we do to wit the grace of God bestowed on the churches of Macedonia. How that in great trial of affliction, The abundance of their joy and their deep poverty abound unto the riches of their liberality. For to their power I bear record, yea, and beyond their power they were willing of themselves. In other words, they went beyond what they even were, their limitations. Praying us with much entreaty that we should receive the gift and take upon us the fellowship and the ministering of the saints. And this they did, not as we hoped, but first gave their own selves to the Lord and unto us by the will of God. In this account that we just read, Paul is collecting money for a hurting congregation in Jerusalem. And specifically, he is in the region of Macedonia. And what is significant is that Macedonia was a very poor region to begin with. Yet the Macedonians were so concerned over their brethren in Jerusalem being in need that they truly gave. So let's look at the characteristics of their giving. They demonstrated authentic servanthood. You see, a great proof of true servanthood is anonymity. Not giving to make name for yourself. No one individual is highlighted in this scripture. No names are mentioned in this scripture. No one specific church is mentioned. Simply the churches. You see, we practice the art of unselfish living. When we practice the art of unselfish living, we prefer to remain anonymous. A second part of giving is expressed in how that in a great trial of affliction, in their time of need, the abundance of their joy and their deep poverty abounded into the riches of their liberality. When they gave, they overflowed in the process. They gave liberally and sacrificially beyond their ability. They gave with sacrificial generosity. This giving involves more than money. It includes us, our time, our energy, our compassion, our strength, our love, our hopes, and even at times, our possessions. And there's another aspect of unselfish living is a willingness to give generously, a willingness to give sacrificially. They gave voluntarily, without prompting, without pushing. In other words, Paul didn't have to twist their arms. A true giving servant reaches out without having to be invited. In other words, he didn't have to get up there and say, folks, please, please. If you're a servant, you reach out without having to be invited to give. The sense, they sense deep hurts without being told and reach out to help. They sense hidden needs and respond without being told. You see, a true servant looks for ways to give without being asked. 2 Corinthians 9:7, every man according as he purposeth in his heart, so let him give, not grudgingly or of necessity, for God loveth a cheerful giver. There's another characteristic of a true servant is personal involvement. You see, it is impossible to give ourselves to others at arm's length. Amen? Personal involvement is essential. It is not optional. Personal involvement is essential. It usually involves adapting ourselves, schedules, and the ways to fit it into the needs of others. Personal involvement is the proof of authentic desire to serve and to give. You see, folks, talk is cheap. Actions cost. Amen? How much does giving cost? Well, in Luke 9:23, it says, and he said unto them, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me. Following Jesus Christ is a costly unselfish decision. Amen? It calls for a radical examination of our self-centered lifestyle. We have to really look at ourselves and say, am I exactly what God wants me to be? It's a radical examination. We have to really look and examine. First, those who desire to follow Jesus Christ must come to terms with self-denial. When you read in 1 Corinthians 9:22 through 27, it says, to the weak I became as weak, that I might gain the weak. I am made all things to all men, that I might by all means save some. And this I do for the gospel's sake, that I might be partaker thereof with you, knowing ye not that they which run in a race run all, but one receiveth the prize. So run that you may obtain. And every man that striveth for the mastery is temperate in all things. Now they do it to obtain a corruptible crown, but we an incorruptible. I therefore so run, not as uncertainty, so fight I, not as one that beateth the air. But I keep under my body and bring it into subjection, lest that by any means, when I have preached to others, I myself should be a castaway. When you look at this scripture, you're hearing Paul talking about running the race. See, this is in relation to the Olympics. And he says, when they run the race, they run it to receive a corruptible crown. He says, but we're running to receive an incorruptible crown. In other words, he says, when you run a race, the winner receives a prize. So he says, run the race. Folks, he's telling us to get involved, that God will bless you. You can't outgive God. Amen? Do what God asks us to do. Do whatever it takes. If you're going to be a runner, you can't just get up one day and decide to run and get in a marathon and think you're going to win. You better be practicing. We got some runners here, right? You better be practicing. And it takes sacrifice. Anybody that we see out on any type of field, whether it's football, baseball, basketball, there's a lot of preparation goes into being able to be out on that court. Or you will get your tail kicked. Right? If you want the blessings of God, if you want the prizes that God is going to offer us, folks, in relation to this scripture, it's going to cost us. It's going to cost us. See, another decision to give ourselves must be a daily matter. The decision to give ourselves must be a daily. 1 Corinthians 5:31, I protest by your rejoicing which I have in Christ Jesus our Lord, I die daily. Paul said, I die daily. What's he talking about there? He's talking about the desires of this flesh. This flesh wants to be pampered. This flesh likes to be treated great and kind. And when it wants to sit down, it wants to sit down. When it wants to take a nap, it wants to take a nap. But Paul says, I die daily. Flesh, you're not in control here. It's that spirit that lives within you. That new man. When we die, when we repent of our sins, as the scripture tells us to in Acts 2:38, you must repent of your sins, be baptized in Jesus' name, and filled with the Holy Ghost. When you repent, you're dying out to the flesh. You say, God, I'm sorry for the life I've lived. I don't want to live that way anymore. And a lot of us oftentimes think, well, that's not going to the bars and doing the honky-tonks and all that kind of stuff. No, that's dying out to what the flesh wants. The flesh likes to do all those things. So it's more than just the party life. And it's more than that, those kind of things that we're giving up, folks. It's our desire to be pampered. I didn't think it was that. What the scripture's talking about here, reading it. And then it means that we must also walk the path that he walked and live the life that he lived. It calls for commitment. In 2 Corinthians 8:9 through 11 says, for ye know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was yet rich, yet for your sakes he became poor, that ye through his poverty might be rich. And herein I give my advice, for this is expedient for you, who have begun before, not only to do, but also to be forward a year ago. Now therefore perform the doing of it, that as there was a readiness to will, so there may be a performance also out of that which ye have. Once again, we must finish. We must obtain. Amen. 1 Corinthians 9:24. Know ye not that they which run the race run all, but one receiveth the prize? So run that ye may obtain. Well, is it worth it? 2 Corinthians 9:7. Every man according as he purposed in his heart, so let him give, not grudgingly of necessity, for God loveth a cheerful giver. God's promises to those who give bountifully. Proverbs 22:9. He that hath a bountiful eye shall be blessed, for he giveth his bread to the poor. We are never more like God than when we give. Amen? John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. God gave everything, folks. Amen? He gave everything. He came on this earth and robed himself in flesh and died on Calvary. We're never more like God than when we give. Let's stand here today. Lord, we love you. We appreciate you, God. We just ask right now that you just touch each one here today. And I pray, God, that you help us to apply this to our lives. Lord, that we can be servants for the kingdom of God. Help us, Lord God, in Church of Pentecost to be servants for your kingdom. We give you praise in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you, folks. Greet one another. Greet our guests.